Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
Update comes from One Bills Drive, the Bills' second day of organized team activity complete and a long injury list going into this one, announced by head coach Sean McDermott before the practice today. Bills tight end Tyler Kroft, the unrestricted free agent, broke his foot yesterday during the opening session of OTAs. It's the same foot he broke last season with the Bengals, and that kept him out for 11 games last year. Tyler Kroft, his timetable to return, well, Ian Rappaport says the time frame for recovery is 3 to 4 months. That is unofficial. But Tyler Kroft has a broken foot and is going to be out for a while. He does need surgery. The other injuries announced today by Sean McDermott, unrestricted free agent signees Cole Beasley and Mitch Morse, both out with core muscle injuries, suffered groin injuries essentially. Frank Gore, veteran running back, has a foot and ankle injury he suffered last season, keeping him on the sidelines. Rookie wideout David Sills with a hamstring suffered in rookie camp. He's on the sidelines as well, and Russell Bodine is out still with the shoulder suffered last year. So a long injury list for the Bills on day two of OTAs. Jerry Hughes expected to sign a two-year contract extension later this afternoon, said to be worth up to $23 million, including $19.5 million guaranteed. Hughes had 7 sacks last year leading the team, but his production in sacks has tapered off since he had at least 9.5 sacks in back-to-back seasons 2013 and 2014. Bills media news. Former offensive lineman Eric Wood has joined the Buffalo Bills media content team. He will be the color commentator along with me on the Bills radio game broadcast on WGR Sports Radio 550 and the Bills Radio Network. He will also regularly contribute to this show. Eric Wood becomes part of the Bills media content team. Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving on from defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. They released him yesterday. The Patriots have signed Julian Edelman to a 2-year contract extension. And Reuben Foster, Washington Redskins linebacker, believed to have suffered a torn ACL in his knee. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. It is game 6. St. Louis has a chance to finish up San Jose. First face-off tonight, 8 o'clock in St. Louis. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Going to hear from Chris Berman momentarily. He's coming to Buffalo in a little bit less than 2 weeks away. We'll talk with Chris about that. Steve and I talking a lot about the about the injuries. We're talking a lot about the Jerry Hughes signing on the show. And our Twitter poll deals with the Bills offense. Who will lead the Bills in receptions this year? Who do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a call, Steve. We haven't taken a call yet from the audience.
Okay.
Mark in Amherst. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air with us.
Yes, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, a couple days ago you were talking about the New England Patriots, about Brady and Belichick. Who was the most influential person to guide them to their success?
What do you think?
And I don't know. I really I think it was a combination. But to me, my question is, when the Bills had their run, I've had 18 season tickets for the Bills before Kelly signed on. And I watched every Bill game. I never missed a game. And I was curious as to what you think about who was influential, Levy, or when Kelly started calling his own plays.
Yeah, what is, Steve, was there one figure who was predominant in your Super Bowl era,
no.
Do you think? No?
No, there was a ton of guys. And we had a cast of crew that was pretty set back then. It's a much different time in the league, and it was a different way to do things, of doing business back then. You didn't, like the Patriots, you got to tip your hat. One of the reasons you tip your hat to the Patriots is because they've done it with a ton of different people around those two guys, Belichick and Brady. Danny Woodhead, Wes Welker, and Julian Edelman, all three of those guys played that slot receiver and did different things for the club. Gronkowski's been there for the last, you know, half or a little less than half of this run that they've had. You've got other players defensively, Teddy Bruschi, guys like that who have Ninkovich, who has been there for a while, and Steph Gilmore, Darrell Revis. They've had different names. Rodney Harrison, who's been in, who was there for a good stretch of time. So you've had different players in and out of that lineup contribute in big ways, but not stay there for the entire run. In the Buffalo case, they had such a good run for such a short – it was a shorter period of time, but they got contributions from significant players. They had five Hall of Famers on that team with Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas – Bruce Smith, of course, and James Lofton contributed in a big way to that, as well as Marv Levy and a Hall of Fame general manager in Bill Polian and a Hall of Fame owner in Ralph Wilson. Yeah, they got contributions from a lot of different places. So it's really – and it was a different league. So it's hard to compare that run, even though it was much shorter, but still significant. It's hard to compare that to the run that the Patriots have been on because they've done it in so many in such different ways.
A guy who's familiar with that run, that Super Bowl run, joins us now on the show. A familiar name to Buffalo Bills fans. Six-time National Sportscaster of the Year, ESPN personality, contributor to SportsCenter and Monday Night Countdown, and coming to Buffalo in less than 2 weeks. We're happy to have on the line with us live right now, Chris Berman. Hello, Boomer. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. How are you?
Hi, fellas. Spring will be here any minute now, right?
Yeah, we've been waiting.
We'll see. We'll tell you when it gets here.
Are you in Hawaii?
No. I'm in Connecticut. I know what we have. It's nice when the sun comes out. If we could want to sneak into the low 70s, that would be good.
We're right in your wheelhouse, exactly. Are you looking forward to your trip here in a couple of weeks? You're going to do a little bit of a different event for us.
Well, first, we come up for Jim's golf tournament, where I'll see all you guys there and so many people that year in, year out, not only on those teams you were such a big part of, Steve and Murph. I mean, you lived it. We all lived it, and we're fortunate to have done so. But just the folks that show up to support Jim and Hunter's Hope and Kelly for all the stuff, and then the evening, you know, I give credit to the organizers, Therese Fortin, many others. That there's a wonderful idea that I was involved with, a kind of a kickoff thing last year, and I'm sure we did the show at the time. You know, the museum, if you will, the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience, which combines. Well, if it gets, it's getting going. If it comes to fruition the way everyone's seeing it, you know, we got sports, we get media, and we get music. Now, I mean, other than eating food, I don't know what's more interesting, right?
So that's a good point.
I have a hard time picking.
At least to me.
Yeah.
Look, it's not so much. Oh, I'm going to get up and sing. A lot of people are going to get up and sing. I mean, it's. And it's a Monday evening, and it's just kind of another awareness for, I think, a wonderful concept and unique as far as I'm concerned. I don't know of one that will put all those sort of things under one roof, you know? I mean, you can be in your 60s, you can be young, and those three subjects are in everyone's wheelhouse. So,
Chris,
so this is kind of an interesting idea. Look, the only thing I'll say, and I'm not the golfer that Seve is, you know, but Huey Lewis, my friend, said, you know, Boomer, as an amateur golfer, you're kind of a, you know, you're 14 or 15 or you're handicapped, but amateur singer, you're a 6.
Good.
So I take that as a compliment, and we'll see if he's right.
Chris, coming up, we'll give you the details here a couple of weeks away on Monday, June 3rd, at the Town Ballroom on Main Street in Buffalo. It is he's going to join some of those Hall of Fame members for the night to benefit the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience. As Chris said, they're going to put the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, the Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Fame, and the Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, all together in one place. They're raising money to do that, and you can help by attending. 6 p.m., Monday, June 3rd, at the Town Ballroom in downtown Buffalo. Tickets $30. And you can get tickets online at Ticketfly.com. Chris is coming up for that. And you're going to sing with some Hall of Famers. I know you're kind of downplaying that, Chris. I understand it. But they've got a group called Twang, made up of Music Hall of Famers, that you're going to jump in and sing a little bit with, huh?
Well, I heard, Seve, have you sung with them. Is that true?
Yeah, I did one. I was I went to Sportsman. They play every Tuesday at the Sportsman, so I jumped in once with them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they look. If you got a good band behind you, we can sound good, right?
Well, we meaning you, yeah.
Well, I don't know, but hey, look, they play music everybody likes. The folks in town know all these fellas that are going to have or the Elvis guy. I mean, it's going to be a musical night and a lot of fun and just kind of hanging out. It's a Monday night, so I mean it's low key, but we're gonna start. Look, the Monday before was a holiday. No reason this can't be a holiday from
now
on,
right?
That's right. And Chris, how many years, just if you want to even guess, how many years for you and Jim Kelly's charity golf tournament? I know you're way past double digits in this.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How many years has he had it now,
it's
Murph?
32.
Yeah, okay. So
32.
I want to say 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
21.
At least, yeah.
I mean, I don't.
I'll bet it's more than that. I think you start coming in the early, maybe somewhere around the comeback game when we started with the circling the wagons.
Yeah.
Probably around then. That'd put it out there. Yeah.
And you know what it is, and you're the huge part of it. After Hunter passed,
right?
All the guys made, you know, everybody would try to come, but it was a much more concerted effort every year for a long time. After that, you know what, we're all, I hate to say it, circling the wagons to your point, but I felt that everyone was coming for a long time after Hunter passed away, and that spirit has remained. Well, you guys had something special. I was only on the I don't want to say outskirts, but I wasn't on the team, but I mean, the city knows what you That'll never happen again. I'm talking about the friendships, let alone the accomplishments.
Right. So, I think one of the interesting things, Chris, that guys like outside, the guys that didn't put on the uniform are as much a part of that big family as the guys who wore helmets. I mean, guys like Murph and you and even guys like Dan Marino. There's no doubt that it's a family that has grown. Bill Polian comes back. He shows up. Marv comes back at least. And in fact, it was funny, and you can laugh at this, Marv Levy came back just for the party the night before, the pairings party, and then he leaves and goes home during the golf. So it's an event like none other. You're right.
And the folks come out, and my goodness, there's fun on every hole. I don't know that we're threatening Brooks Koepka anytime soon, but maybe more like. I had a funny line there and I forgot it, but and it was even clean. But I, you know, this is what happened. Hey, you know, I covered a lot of kicks, Sevy. You know, yeah. I'm starting to
save the good ones. Save the good ones for Monday night.
You know, it's just fun to be up with everybody. Everyone's so appreciative in the whole area, and we have it at Terry Hills. And then the Monday night event will be fun, and you know, it involves the Hall of Fame, your Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame up there, too. And you guys excited about what the Bills have done? I'll ask you. I mean, I can give my opinion, but I'm not as dialed in where they went draft-wise. Of course, we never know. I mean, it makes sense that the first player they got, I mean, they weren't expecting to even be able to do that at 9, right? And so, in their off-season moves, you think they're doing the right things?
Well, we've got the line between me and Murph is you would be hard pressed in the history of the NFL to find a more optimistic team that finished 6-10 the year before. So they're very optimistic here. That it's hard to debate any move they made the entire offseason. They've stayed disciplined. They've spent their money wisely, apparently. And they seem to have all their ducks in a row, kind of waiting. And for all of us, we're just marking time until they kick it off because we can't wait to watch this team play. So, yeah, you're right. We're optimistic is putting it mildly.
Well, it's good to hear. I mean, you know, we'll see what the quarterback becomes. The Bills have certainly given him some help. You know, there is no better Frank Gore. I mean, now he may not be what he was, you know, but, I mean, he's – you talk about a professional – And I know Mitch Morse, you know, the center came over from the Chiefs and a slot receiver and Beasley. The problem is, you guys, as I was waiting to come on, I mean, you guys hit it. I mean, I think New England's still in the division, right?
Yeah, so, that's right.
Unless I missed something. I mean, you know, I do go to Hawaii here and there, but I think the Jets are on the way up and Miami's on the way back. I mean, but this is May, right? I mean, a lot of things can happen in that time. So, look, the Bills, I just think the defense was pretty good last year. I mean, I think of those two New England games, which I watched, one I was at and one, and they played really well, and that's the head coach, Sean McDermott's calling card, right? So, played pretty good defense, and hope to score. They're not going to be the Rams or the Saints or the Chiefs, and we get it, or the Patriots in scoring, but, you know, get into the low 20s and win games. I'm not talking about 17-14 in the day, 23-20. That would kind of be where they're headed, unless I've missed something. That's my read on it. What do you think?
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this. I get worried. Steve knows that there's so much positive national media attention being focused on the Buffalo Bills now. I get worried that we're being set up for a letdown. Should I worry about that? You've seen that, right? People love the Buffalo Bills right now.
Well, but they're not alone. I mean, people are on a few teams. So, look, it's nice to sneak up on people, and so in retrospect, maybe no one will talk about us, and then we're 5-2 before anyone knows what's going on. In this day and age, usually the cause for optimism, not all those teams, you know, not all the March free agent, and the Bills weren't that signing like any dream team, you know, at their prime. We've seen a lot of those teams, the March winners, fall on their face, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
But if you're not being talked about a little bit at this time, it means they're relying on unbelievable things to happen in chemistry. And I think all you can do is improve your odds, right, in life and in football. And I think the Bills have done that. And let's give the young quarterback and see with a little more in the team's holster what he can do. I mean, let's see if accuracy compared to the best quarterbacks is a problem at the moment. By the way, Jared Goff was horrible his first year, right?
Yep.
And so, right. Hello. So how do you help him? Well, here's a slot receiver. Maybe the tight end they drafted develops into somebody who's just a real, really good target, a chain-moving target, not necessarily – you know, someone like Andre Reed or James Lofton. I mean, just give him tools to get in a flow. I mean, I know that's I'm being vague, and it is May, so why get too analytical now, right? So,
right.
I just like the way they played defense last year. So, if the other side comes, why not? What do they say? Why not us, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you do mention that it is May, and while you've kind of stepped away from your big the way you carried ESPN on your back for like 25 years, but now you're doing a little less, but you are doing a little something. You're going to do a Red Sox game coming up.
Well, I don't know that I carried ESPN on my back. I don't, but thank you. I mean, we started September of 79, so that's 40 years this fall. I started October 1st. I was 24, long hair, which I wish I saved, and a mustache, which was a good look in the late 70s. Let's not knock that.
Oh, you were rocking it. Yeah, I remember. Listen, I was watching. I remember.
I mean, I was okay. I mean, I had to convince my kids. Just look at pictures of late 70s. Oh, you're right, Dad. There are a lot of guys that look like you. Yeah, right. I wasn't the freak you think I am, so... But that's your kids, right? At any rate, thank you for that compliment. But I did more football stuff last year, more of a historical variety every week. And we're still working on this is the 100th season of the NFL, as you all know. And not the, you know, they started in 1920, so the 100th anniversary is another year. But this is the 100th season. The league is going to be doing quite a bit with it, with teams and all-time coaches and stuff like that, and we'll identify something that I'll have on a weekly basis. I'm not dancing around it. We haven't totally, it's still May, right? So we haven't totally figured out what can we do that differentiates from maybe what the league is doing, that maybe it's my signature or something. So there'll be more of that, whether people want it or not. And The other stuff is, no, I'm just doing, but yes, I'm doing 5 Red Sox games on the radio. They call at Christmas time, and 3 of them are coming up, Memorial Day, and the next 2 days they're playing Cleveland, and then a couple in August, where they're playing the Phillies. You know, I grew up in New England. The San Francisco Giants are my team above all. But Boston was a team I could drive to see. You know, I went to college in Rhode Island at Brown, and so I have so many memories of Fenway Park from the 70s on. I mean, and there are plenty of people in your area that make the trip there, whether they like the Red Sox, Yankee, or whatever. It's iconic. So to say, okay, I'm going to do a handful of games sitting in Fenway Park, I mean, it's hard not to, if you like baseball, I mean, it's hard not to feel that that would be a good evening, right? I mean, any of us would kind of jump at that, correct? So I did. I mean, it just kind of came out of left field, and they don't have a set second announcer along with Joe Castiglione, who's been there forever and a wonderful gentleman. And they were hoping I'd do a bunch more, Sevy, but I went, you know, I'm busier than you think. The worst thing is when people think you're retired or semi-retired, you have nothing to do, right?
Yeah, but, so they don't hesitate to ask you to do things, right?
Well, I don't mind that. I mean, when they stop, that's the problem, right? But it's not like, at any rate, I was honored to be asked. I said, how about a series in the spring and a series in the summer? And they went, great. So that's coming up next week. I'll have to bring up a couple lobster rolls on the way to Jim's golf tournament.
There you go.
on the 3rd.
Yeah, you're going to be busy. Chris, thanks for spending time with us today. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks here for Jim's tournament and the Hall of Fame experience. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good talking with you.
I feel like coming home with this show. Yep. Happy spring to you guys, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, travel safe, Boom.
Aloha.
Yeah, Chris Berman, ESPN personality, 6-time National Sportscaster of the Year. He'll be here for Jim Kelly's tournament a couple of weekends away, and he also will be here in 2 weeks on Monday, June 3rd, 6 p.m., Town Ballroom, 681 Main Street in Buffalo, for part of the event to raise awareness and money for the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience. Tickets $30. You can go online and get them at ticketfly.com. Chris will be there singing with Twang, a group of Buffalo Music
Twang
Hall of
Gang.
Famers. Yeah, the Twang Gang, a group of Buffalo Music Hall of Famers. And trying to raise money to put together the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, and the Buffalo Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. And that's coming up on Monday, June 3rd. That'll be kind of a neat event. It was last year. He did it last year.
It is. It's a nice event. The Twang Gang are a great bunch of guys. And
is that who you sang with? Famous?
Yeah, they play at the Sportsman's Bar every Tuesday. They're Hall of Fame musicians, and they have this thing where they just – And listen, I'm not public speaking aside like I do every day. Well, you do every day in the radio. It's not like I get up and sing in front of people at all ever.
But you want the chance to, though.
No, but you always sing in the car, right? So they push you up there because it was a fundraiser.
You do sing.
And it's like,
car.
Okay, sing a song. I'm like, what song? What? Who? And they go, no, you know the words to some song. I'm like, no.
You sang all the way to the combine when we were in the car this year.
That's true.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Right. There you go. And it was that night, too, right? So,
all right, full disclosure. There is video of that that Steve has prohibited us from airing on the
show.
That's
exactly right. If you air it, I will snap Jay Harris's kneecaps.
Now that just makes me want to see that video more.
You
I've never
see
seen it.
Privately.
What happened? Did you miss a note or something?
Oh, yeah. Notes and words, all of it. I was horrific. I was horrific.
Got to see this.
It was awful. You don't want it. I mean, it would. Listen, our ratings go right down the tubes if you put that on.
You know how people used to call up the show?
It's awful.
People used to call up the show and say, Steve belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now I want people to call up and say, I want to see that music video.
Yeah, it ain't happening. But, yeah, that'll be a...
That's a challenge. You've thrown down the gauntlet to us now. Anyway, Chris Berman will sing with the Twang Gang. Just a couple of weeks away, Monday, June 3rd, it's the benefit for the Buffalo Hall of Fame experience.
It's not happening.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk
we'll
some more.
We'll go karaoke sometime, and then we'll do it privately. But the problem is some of the guys pull out their phones.
Yeah.
That's what happened that night.
Yeah. I got to see this video.
You know.
One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. We're in the home stretch. One Bills Live. Down the stretch they come. You know, among the many good things about having Eric Wood part of our broadcast team.
I know where this is
horse
going.
Horse racing. The guy, he's talking about the Derby. He's a Louisville guy, goes to the Derby every year. We had a great conversation. He was there a couple of Saturdays ago in that debacle, right?
And when you're a horse guy, right?
I try to push me away, but yeah.
Here's what it's like for when you and Eric Wood get together and start in on that. It's like one of those conversations where it's my mom and my mom is standing around listening to me and you talk about football. She's like, what is that word? I don't even know what most of the words you're talking about. I don't even know what they mean.
What do you mean?
Just a whole different vocabulary.
We're talking about the Derby.
He's like, and it's like, whatever. You're talking about this stuff, and you're saying things about places and people I have no idea about.
Well, he knows much more than I do, and I think this might be my ticket to the Derby, right? Basically.
Oh, it's got to be, right?
I mean, you got a suite.
Listen, you got
Churchill Downs on Derby Day.
You got to win him over and be his buddy. I told you, it's important in the broadcast. You have chemistry. You got to win him over and be his best buddy. Then he can't help but invite you. You know, the kids' weddings, and the Derby suite. He's in a suite, too, Murph.
Got a suite at the Derby.
It's pouring rain every Derby I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So you got to get inside.
Hey, the Bills had their OTA today. They had injury news. We can talk about that if you'd like. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. They are expected to announce that they've signed a contract extension with defensive end Jerry Hughes this afternoon. That should be coming out. We hope if Jerry Hughes steps to the podium over in the media center across the way that we can carry that live. If it's after 3 p.m., we will not. What else is going on here? Eric Wood announced today as a new member of the Bills media content team. He'll be the color man on the Bills Sunday radio broadcast along with me. He'll be on this show a lot of Mondays, most home game Mondays. Any of that is on the table for discussion. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Sean McDermott was available for discussion at 11:30 this morning before the OTA session today, answering a number of questions, going through the injury list. We'll go through that with you in a second. But Sean was also asked for his first impressions of quarterback Josh Allen going into his second year. Here's what Sean McDermott says about second-year quarterback Josh Allen.
You know, I've been impressed with his methodical work ethic and approach. Seems like he understands the work that he has to and we have to do this offseason to get us to where we're trying to get to as a football team. And then offensively as well. He's done a great job, as you guys know, it's been well documented, putting his arms around some of the players that we did sign through free agency, some of our draft picks. And I think that's a great quality to have in terms of the humility that Josh possesses in his DNA and again, the way he was raised. And so that's the first step in leadership a lot of times. So I thought he had a good day yesterday and certainly more work to do the rest of the week.
Take two more, please. Sean, what's the objective for Josh during this OTA process? Is it knocking off rust? Is it honing in on specific things to improve upon? What is his objective from you?
It's the overall football player. And that includes the off-the-field person, too. And we're talking about a young man who's 1 year out of college and is going to continue to experience life and grow and mature off the field. And then his leadership will continue to develop in the locker room for us. And then as the skills and the techniques develop and he puts in the required time to do that, which he has, he'll continue to grow on the field. Just the game, you know, just like any young player, you want the game to be able to slow down. So that what seemed fast last year, maybe 6-8 months ago, will this year just slow down exponentially. And as he continues to grow and get more reps, it'll continue to slow down for him.
Sean McDermott on his quarterback Josh Allen made it through day two of the OTAs today. Sean's expectation question there, or his answer rather, takes me back, Steve, to what I heard Brandon Bean say, and I mentioned this on the show a week or so ago, about Josh Allen and where he needs to improve. And the Bills don't talk about he needs higher, the knee-jerk reaction to Sean is he needs to be more accurate, needs a higher completion percentage. No. Bean said Josh Allen needs to be a better decision maker.
Right.
Which takes me right to what McDermott just said about the game will slow down for him. And I think what he has in mind is the game slows down and Josh Allen makes better decisions, right? Pretty simple.
Yeah, and I think some of the what he needs to do is pre-snap. You know, it's outside the realm of the play before he gets to recognize, to feel more comfortable not only with the guys on his side of the ball, but more familiar with what the other teams are going to try and do against him so that he has a plan before the snap so he can see where his problems are going to be and what to look for specifically and so that he can make better decisions. Certainly he took some strides toward that this last year, and I'm forever pointing out the Week 17 game where that was the point of emphasis for his progress at the early stages of his career last year, at the end of his first year, where Daboll said, just – take that easy completion. Don't just sit there and wait and wait and wait. Just take that guy that's there. And he ended up throwing for 3 touchdowns and running for 2 touchdowns and scoring 42 points on the Miami Dolphins. And he looked like a different quarterback that week. That kind of stuff's got to continue. He's got to get back to that and then build on it. We'll see.
Yeah, and there's time to do it this spring too, as a matter of fact, for Josh Allen. We'll keep an eye on that during our exposure to the OTAs this spring. Hey, it's time now for the ever-popular NFL True and False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. True or false, a couple of comments about the NFL that have been made, have been written, and Steve and I offer our opinions on them after much thought. True or false? This came about. Adam Schein, you know him. We've had him on the show. Seems like a big Bills fan, but regardless of that, Adam Schein wrote a post about the most complete teams in the NFL. He's got the Los Angeles Chargers as the most complete team in the NFL. The Los Angeles Chargers, who are, playoff contenders, who had a good year last year. Adam Schein wrote, "I believe the Chargers are the most talented, balanced, and complete team in the NFL. Tom Telesco's put together a deep and loaded roster." True or false, Steve? Chargers, the most complete team in the NFL?
They can certainly be in that conversation.
Absolutely.
Phillip Rivers, it starts and ends with him. He's a cut above most quarterbacks mentally. He still slings it extremely well. It's interesting because they got a really good football team from top to bottom. The roster's thick, deep. It seems to be experienced and, proven. I mean, certainly there are other teams maybe with better position groups, but we don't know about them yet. They come together. They're going to show us how good they are later. The Chargers have pretty much kind of proven it, but it's still that team that doesn't have a home field. They play in the StubHub Center of 25,000 seat stadium. It's and they play most of their games really on the road. So if you want to talk about the roster, yeah, they may be in that conversation. But as for their chances to run that gauntlet again this season and get deeper than they'd have in the past, I don't see that happening.
Me neither. So you got it false?
I think it's false.
I have it false, too. I got the Rams as the most complete team. Now, you still don't know what happened last year with Todd Gurley at the end of the year, right? But if he's healthy, they got it all, right? Great defense with outstanding performers, a good, solid quarterback, really good, strong wide receivers. I think the Rams are the most complete team, not the Chargers. So that's false.
Yeah, one other thing about the Chargers, or the Rams as opposed to the Chargers, Anthony Lynn I like a lot, the San Diego Chargers head coach. I think the Rams are better coordinated, both with Sean McVay and Wade Phillips. I mean, you got to go there too. And I'm not so sure that I'm as sold on the Chargers and their coaching staff as I am on the Rams.
I see, yeah. And not to take anything away from the Chargers, because I'm a Tom Telesco fan.
Yeah, me too.
Western New York native, does a great job. But I think the Rams might have him beat. NFL True or False Part 2. We talked about this yesterday. Pete Carroll talked about this. The NFL should decrease the use of instant replay. That is true or false. Pete Carroll, in a story written by Peter King, said, "I get all the reasons why we have instant replay and technology has opened up a new world for us to get to this point, but I miss," this is Pete Carroll talking, "I miss the human element of trusting officials to make the calls in the moment and then the rest of us having to live with what they called. It was both fun and frustrating. I really liked the game better when the officials were just as much a part of the game as the players." I could not agree more. There's never been a true or false that I have said more true. True.
I was going to say, is that Pete Carroll talking or is that John Murphy
talking?
Exactly.
It's like I wrote it for him.
He was quoting you.
I wrote it for him. I believe all of that.
And I'll say this. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to say we should do exactly what he said, but I would say true as well. I think less is more. I think they need to pick their spots better than they have been able to pick them in the past. I think they need to do things better than they've been able to do it in the past. That doesn't mean doing it more, getting more things under the umbrella of replay, but I do think they should get it right faster and maybe on more or on less occasions, just on the ones that make a difference, a competitive difference, a difference in the end of the game. I don't care if they got a first down in the first quarter of the game. Maybe they should just say, you know what, we're going to do this in the second half. You can replay stuff. In the first half, it's up to you to overcome it. You know, one way or the other, I think they need to reduce it or significantly change the underlying philosophy behind it. Either make it more encompassing or limit it more, but in some way, shape, or form, they need to change it fundamentally. Certainly, we could replay everything, no question about it. But you need to come up with a philosophy that makes it available on the critical moments and takes it out of the game when it's inconsequential. And I don't know how you do that. I don't have a theory, but I'd say true as well.
Phew. Took you a while to get to true.
I know, because I didn't want to give it up.
Finally, NFL True or False, Part 3. Jameis Winston, Bucs quarterback, under the most pressure in 2019. This comes from a post on clutchpoints.com. No idea who they are. They point out that he's got a new head coach, Bruce Arians, a quarterback guy. And they say that in addition, Winston is throwing to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brait, so that leaves him with no excuses to struggle. Really? Winston heading into a contract year. They picked up the fifth-year option. Here's the quote. If Winston fails to showcase why he was the first pick of the 2015 draft, he'll be looking for a new team in 2020. The fifth-year quarterback could earn himself a new contract, though, if he impresses Arians and company. Well, yeah, he's under the most pressure. He's under pressure. And it's time for Jameis Winston to deliver. I'm going true on this one. I think it's almost obvious.
I don't know. Maybe. There's a couple of guys that get into the conversation. Guys like Eli Manning, even, in New York.
Yep, I thought of him.
He's under a little bit of pressure. Maybe a guy like Dak Prescott, who they're trying to figure out a way to pay him. You know, he's got to continue to play extremely well. Certainly Jameis Winston's in that conversation because he's at the end of his rookie deal. He's got to put up or shut up at one of the most important positions. So if you're putting the amount of pressure on, the amount of dollars at stake, yeah, Jameis Winston might be at the top of that list. So yeah. I can say true to that.
True. We both said true. There you go. NFL true and false. You miss true and false when we don't do it.
I do. I feel deprived.
Cheese deprived. Cheese deficient.
That's right. New York's NFL, artisan cheese.
Artisan cheese. That's right.
Yancey's fancy.
Yancey's fancy. New York's artisan cheese.
When you're out of that seat, that's the hardest read I do all
Why?
Day. I don't know.
I've heard Yancey, that you struggle
I've
with
struggled
that.
With getting Yancey's fancy New York's artisan cheese out.
You'll have most of June to practice.
All right. Yeah.
NFL True and False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. Steve and I are back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, what do we learn today? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Eric Wood on the show. Eric Wood is going to join the Bills media content team. He's going to be the color analyst on the Bills radio network and on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Eric Wood with a big career move today, and he talked about why he's looking forward to being the new color analyst on the radio network.
So I did a game for Fox last year. I did a couple pregame shows. Knew this fall I wanted to give it a full shot. I wanted to go both feet in. So I signed a deal with ACC Network, and then this Bills deal came along with Kelso. Wanted to focus on some other stuff, and this was too good to pass up. It's funny. I heard it all throughout my playing career that whenever you're done, you're going to miss this place, and that is true. And I did miss Western New York.
He's coming back. He's here today. He's going to be here a lot doing color on the Bills radio broadcast. Really looking forward to working with Eric Wood. We had Robert Mays on the show. He is the pro football writer for TheRinger.com, and he wrote an interesting post about a week ago about how the value of edge rush specialists on defense is kind of going down in the NFL. Here's what he said about it.
I think that for the most part, there are still guys that can dominate the game from those spots. I mean, Khalil Mack, guys of that nature. But I think that when you're seeing teams like the Patriots, who obviously have been the modicum of success for a long time in the NFL, not pay those guys. They believe in their ability to have interchangeable rushers, to create it with stunts with different games, things like that. I just think that I wouldn't be surprised to see more teams go that route. And we're also seeing really smart people when it comes to the analytics and the stats involved kind of come up with the idea and the notion that the guys in the back end of the defense, your secondary guys, your cover guys, are more impactful than any defensive front player you can have.
Well, there you go, Robert Mays. A couple of notes here. We got a ton of Bills news here today. We did not get a chance to hear from Jerry Hughes, expected to sign his contract this afternoon, and he will meet with the media. We'll have some of that on our show tomorrow. What else? Long injury list. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing.
No need to panic, Steve says. Tyler Kroft is out with a broken foot. Happened yesterday in the first day of OTAs. Ian Rappaport says recovery could be 3 to 4 months. Others out of OTAs today, Cole Beasley and Mitch Morse with core muscle injuries. Frank Gore, David Sills, Russell Bodine with a shoulder. No need to worry. And this is news, too. This came out just minutes ago from Adam Schefter, and we were talking about him with Mays. And Ndamukong Suh and the Tampa Bay Bucks finalizing a one-year deal. Now expected to be a Buck. Interesting.
Yeah.
Steve, we
you
got call, about 10
You
seconds.
Called it early. It
no,
was,
no.
Yeah.
I asked a question.
Good show today. Golly, move fast.
Yeah, kept us going.
Yeah, lots going on. We'll see you tomorrow, too. It's going
to
be fun.
Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robo, producer Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.